Oh, wow. It's time for Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, Auckland's Museum of Transport and Technology.
Okay. I feel like it's a bit quiet, so let me know if anyone can't hear anything, but it might just be me and the buttons. Anyway, Marcus, welcome back to the studio.
I can hear you.
Okay. It's your first time back post-lockdown. How's it feel?
It feels weird. It feels very weird.
It's great to see your face, though.
Thank you.
Not doing all the Skype. Yep. But let's talk about dark matter.
Okay, so a question for you. This is a real question. What accounts for 85% of all the matter in the universe is probably floating around in this room and is probably passing right through each of us without us feeling a thing?
Well, I probably gave it away, didn't I? Is it dark matter?
It is dark matter. Yes, you did.
My bad.
That's all right. We're going to talk about dark matter.
What is it, though?
Good question. No one really knows.
Okay.
That's a simple answer. There are lots of theories, I think. And the problem is it's stuff. It's definitely matter, but it's nothing. It interacts so weakly with everything that we can see and that we can feel and we can touch that we don't have a good way of actually detecting it. So we know it's there because... if it wasn't there, basically galaxies would fall apart. The universe wouldn't have formed in the way it was.
Wow.
We can see evidence of its matter, so it has gravity. Yeah, so it pulls things towards it, or it shapes things as it sort of moves around the universe.
And holds things up.
Holds things together. So effectively, it's holding galaxies together.
Wow.
Because without it, you know,
there'd be 84% less stuff.
Yeah, and I think the galaxies would fall apart, and we'd be floating around the universe by ourselves.
Oh my gosh! Okay.
So it's definitely there, but we can't actually get a hold of it. We can't physically detect it, and so this is a story, and one of these stories comes up periodically, and that is we think we've seen it. We've got a signal. And it turns out to be probably rubbish. And this, we've yet to see whether this is true of this story or not. But this is something that came out a few weeks ago and about a big experiment in, I'm going to say Italy. Yes, it's in Italy, where they have a ton of xenon. Okay, xenon mm-hmm. is this noble gas, but they've liquefied it. So this is big vat. With xenon gas or xenon liquid, I guess, in it, very, very, very pure. And around this big vat, there's lots of detectors that are able to detect light.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, photodetectors. And the idea is that dark matter could interact very, very weakly with this matter in this big vat. And when it does, it could cause a flash of light to be created. And that light would hit one of the detectors and we'd see a signal.
Wow, yeah? Okay.
And so effectively what's happened is they've seen a signal. And what they've seen is a few, and this is really just a few flashes of light that could be due to a certain type of dark matter particle that has been sort of postulated.
Wow.
Yeah. And these dark matter particles, they have a name for them. They call them WIMPs mm-hmm. because they are weakly interacting massive particles. And they use that because the acronym, obviously.
Yes.
But it's a good acronym. And they occasionally, very, very, very rarely, might actually collide with real matter that we can see.
Oh, right.
And in this big vat of xenon, they produce a flash.
Wow. Right,
and so the detector. So what's happened is that the detector has it's been operating since 2016, and the researchers saw 285 of these flashes
over 4 years. That's not a lot of flashes.
Nope. And they expected 232.
Oh,
so
okay.
Known causes 232. So they have an excess of flashes. All right. And this is the reason they may be. This evidence is weak at best. Yeah, but they've got this excess of events, and this could be dark matter, but it could be something else. It could be something to do with a type of particle that we know about called a neutrino. And it's magnetism of a neutrino. These things are again, flowing through us all the time, but we know about those, and those are things that we can actually detect. But it could also be just some sort of impurity in this tank of xenon that has caused some flash to occur. So it's really, 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 really speculative. But every time this comes up, people get all excited. We've found the dark matter candidate.
But we don't know yet.
We don't know yet.
Okay. Okay.
So that was it.
We'll look forward to that story in another 4 years. Cool. Okay. Well, that's nice. I didn't know, though, that we had 84% of that out there.
Well, yeah, so there's a lot of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant. Okay.
And it's floating through you right now.
Yeah, that's bizarre. LHC, though. What is this LHC?
Okay. So have you heard of the Higgs boson?
Possibly.
Possibly, yeah.
Felix?
I have.
Yeah. Okay.
You have?
Cool.
Okay.
Felix, you take this one.
So the LHC, Large Hadron Collider, is this big 27-kilometer-long tunnel that's under the Alps near Geneva in Switzerland. So it goes into France and then and around. And it has been firing protons at each other. So they loop around the circle, and it fires these protons, and that loop around this big 27-kilometer-long
wow.
circle at about the speed of light, or very close to it. And at several points around this big loop, they have these chambers where these protons smash into each other, and they watch as the debris flies off and figures out what's been happening.
Under the Alps,
it's just this big tunnel that's been dug. It's 27 kilometers
long.
Isn't
that dangerous if there's stuff going on under there? Is it going to cause?
Well, there was when it got switched on about 10 years ago, and people were a bit worried that it would cause little black holes to form, and we'd all get sucked into it. But that didn't happen.
Okay.
So we're still here. So no, I think we're okay.
More problematic than some avalanches. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. All right.
But we're still here, and 2 years after it started doing its thing. They discovered this Higgs boson, which is this particle that had been postulated in the 60s or 70s, I think. And we'd never observed it, and now we know more and more about it, and it's got important properties that are essential for the world, the universe existing. But I'm not going to go into that. What I want to talk about is that the people who run it, the lab is called CERN, which is a French acronym, but they run this LHC, and they are proposing a bigger version of what they have already. So they're proposing something that is now 80 to 100 kilometers long.
Whoa.
So they can make the particles that they fire around this big loop have even higher energies, so they can smash them with even more force, so they can discover newer physics that they haven't been able to access before, because they haven't had enough energy.
Wow.
So the even larger Hadron Collider, then?
It is the stupidly big Hadron Collider. I don't know what the acronym would be, but yeah, the Very Large Hadron Collider. And
where will they put that? Also under the
Well, house? it's supposed to be sort of just a bigger
extended
loop from where it is now. Yeah. And this is going to cost a ridiculous amount of money,
yep.
tens of billions of dollars to build this. China are also thinking of doing something like this, and they want to do this. There were other plans for a linear collider, in other words, just a straight line instead of a loop, and those seem to have been falling by the wayside. People want a bigger loop. But the problem is, this is going to cost a ridiculous amount of money. It's not going to be, online until the 2040s, because it's going to take that long to build and design and plan and work out all the issues and engineering
yep.
problems. And people have been underwhelmed by what the LHC, the current version, has actually discovered.
Right.
Yeah. Because there was a big fanfare, Higgs boson, where we've found the sort of missing link in our understanding of the universe. And they've been desperately trying to find new physics, new things to explain, maybe dark matter,
right.
to explain other things, but they haven't found it, or there at least hasn't been this
sort of
headline-grabbing report like the Higgs boson was. And the politicians that are writing the checks in the EU are starting to think, is this really worth it? You know, we're going to spend $20, $30, $40 billion on this big tunnel for all these scientists to go working on and not really get much of a payback.
What do you reckon?
What is the... I'm really not sure. I don't think... What's good? Is it good for society? You know, is there anything that's come out? Any?
Yeah. And as, I mean, especially now though, right? There's probably quite a lot more pressing matters to be putting money into, perhaps.
That's the issue.
Which means
that's the
that
issue.
This will get put on the wayside
while. I think there's a very strong argument that, you know, a civilization should strive towards, you know, the unknown, and we should be investing money in blue sky, you know, research that doesn't have a clear outcome or doesn't have a clear product at the end of it.
Yeah.
But this is a lot of money to spend on a big tunnel under the Alps.
Okay.
I'm not sure about
Interesting. Okay, last one. Twitter. I mean, yeah, I sometimes get sad when I go on Twitter, but...
Well, this is a different... Yeah, this is not sad because you went on Twitter. This is people who are on Twitter who are sad.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
tell
so,
us.
So this is based on research. So people, there's two applied mathematicians at the University of Vermont in the States. And since about 2008, they have been randomly sampling about 10% of tweets on Twitter. And they've been comparing them to words. They have a database of more than 10,000 common words from Google Books, the New York Times, music lyrics, and also from Twitter itself, and that they've been scored by 50 people on a 9-point scale. Neutral words and those which receive a large range of scores are excluded from the analysis. Does this word make you sad? Does this phrase make you sad? Does it make you happy? Whatever. Yeah. So it's a way of sort of surveying the mood of Twitter users, at least. And so they've been doing this, and this isn't the only way that Twitter is used, and this sort of data is used. People have been using Twitter to, as you might expect, make money on the stock exchange because people's what they're saying could predict how stock markets will move up and down.
Whoa!
So this is it's potentially really a big business. But anyway, this Twitter's just apparently had its saddest fortnight ever, which sort of sucks. And you can see they call it a happiness index. Since December last year, there's been various peaks and troughs. So Christmas is always a bit of a peak. When the pandemic was announced, there was a sort of a dip that has been slowly, that was in sort of early to mid-March, and that was slowly rising until about the third week in May. So what were you doing on... where's the date? The 26th of May. Do you remember anything in particular?
No.
From about that 2 weeks onwards, this happiness index took a dive.
Right.
And stayed down for a few days, and then it's starting to come back up again. But about this two week period. And it's known certain events like mass shootings, controversial government policies. And this is about the same time as the George Floyd killing in the States. People were already, I think, sensitized to this because of the pandemic. There was obviously the Black Lives Matter protests and all of this seems to have come together and created this really sort of sad mood on Twitter. And it's the saddest, you look back over the last sort of 12 years or so, it's never dipped quite so deeply.
Wow.
For this long. Certainly, the researchers are saying this is a milestone in unhappiness, which is maybe not so helpful. But it's also, I think, it's indicative of changing ways people are using Twitter. Because people have been at home, because people have been maybe pushed towards social networks more over the last few months, I think there are now more and more people who are now activated and moving towards issues in equality and social justice because they've got this bigger online community now. For instance, the tweet volume over the past 2 weeks is nearly double the daily average for 2019.
Whoa.
So there's been
a
big uptake in users on Twitter, probably due to the pandemic and the lockdowns. But certainly the strength of this dip and the duration of this dip are certainly unique and unique to this moment, I think. And probably the protests and the pandemic are much more cohesive in terms of collective attention than I think than we've ever seen, anything we've seen before.
Yeah, that's pretty major. Wow. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Marcus.
You're very welcome.
That's science. And wow, a way to measure a mood. That's pretty, that's quite, I'm not quite sad, but I'm moved, I think. And that shows...
It's very interesting.
That's quite a major mood that the entire world is in. Like you say, we're in a real serious place right now. Thank you, Marcus, and we will see you in 2 weeks.
We will.
Mind blown. That was Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, Auckland's Museum of Transport and Technology.